Please turn to page 32 in the front part of your hymn book, page 32, and you will find there the third article and then the explanation. What does this mean? Let us join together in that today. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives me and all believers all our sins, and at the last day he will raise up me and all the dead, and will grant me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. You may be seated for our reading. This week we celebrate Pentecost, one of the great festivals in the church, when we focus on the work of the Holy Spirit. And today our reading is taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. These verses follow immediately upon the description of that first day of Pentecost. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Back in 1878, there was a huge stagecoach robbery out in the Black Hills. And a band of robbers surrounded the stagecoach that they knew was full of gold on the way out to the West Coast. And they stole all of the gold out of the coach and then rode off. Authorities later caught up with them, but in the meantime, they buried what today is probably worth about $500,000 in gold somewhere in the area of the Black Hills, and it's never been found. They were apprehended, arrested, tried, and executed before anybody could ever tell where this gold was buried. So isn't that something to think? This huge treasure is sitting somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, and nobody knows where it is. In a sense, it is worthless, even though it's got tremendous value. We sometimes refer to Jesus as our priceless treasure, as we sing in the hymns. Think about what he's done for us. When he went to the cross, he paid for every sin that you and I have ever committed before God. He has, by his blood, atoned for all of that wickedness and evil in us, so that God could now look at us and forgive us everything we've ever done. Jesus came to give us his perfect holy record that we need to stand on someday to get to heaven on Judgment Day. Every person in this room needs to have that perfect record, or you will not be let into heaven. And Jesus came to win that for us and give it to us. Beautiful treasure. He gives us peace with God, friendship with God, and the hope of someday getting to live forever in the mansions of heaven. Think of what a vast, wonderful treasure that is. Can't even be close to imagine what money could buy for that. And yet it would all remain buried and hidden forever from our hearts and from us ever knowing about it if it were not for the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the great revealer that takes us to the site, that digs up that treasure for us, that reveals it to us in God's word and sacraments, so that your heart and mind could grab onto what Jesus has done and say, I need that so bad if I have any hope of getting into heaven. So the work of the Holy Spirit is sometimes a work that we don't focus on as much, and yet every time God's word is preached and taught among us, we are utilizing that wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. His primary work is to bring peace to troubled consciences like mine and yours is to make us realize that God is our friend because of what Christ has done. And for that reason, he has chosen to come into the world in the form of a dove rather than in the form of a vulture. In the text that's before us, we see the gathering of kind of, if you will, the first real Christian congregation that assembles together around the message of Christ. And it takes place in Jerusalem. There were people from different parts of the world who had been assembled here for this. And yet, notice the similarities that we see in this Christian congregation with the Christian congregations that God has made us a part of even today. As we walk through some of the things in our text, let's notice the evidence of the Holy Spirit's work. Even though it's unseen and hidden in people's hearts, it produces fruit that we can recognize and that we can see. First of all, from our text, let's notice that being a member of God's church, being a member of his congregation, is by his doing. It's not by man's doing. Notice the last verse. The Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. There's no mention of this being a choice or a decision that people made. God, through the Holy Spirit, came into people's hearts and he added them to the church. He connected them to belief in Christ and made them members of the Holy Christian Church. Now that's very comforting that the Lord adds you and me to the church. It's comforting to know that the faith inside of you and me right now that loves Christ, that loves the fact that he paid for your sins, that looks forward to going to heaven because of him, that very faith is something God does. He's the one who adds you to the church. Secondly, notice that the Holy Spirit, when he works, he draws believers together despite whatever other differences there may be about them in this world. Sometimes when I'm sitting in my local congregation, I'll look at different pews where people are sitting and I'll think how different their lives are outside of church, how different their occupations are. One day I happened to notice that right across from me in one of the pews sat an orthodontist, and then right next to him was a woman on welfare. And yet in the congregation, they are treated the same. They are one in Christ. They are part of the body of Christ. Even though there's probably great economic differences and educational differences to them, it doesn't matter when you get united to the church of Christ. And the Holy Spirit takes people from all different aspects of life, all different walks of life, all different countries, and through faith in the gospel, unites them now with one another. And this is one of the signs that he gives us about being believers. There's a beautiful passage that John writes, and I've always loved this passage. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Isn't that a great passage? If you enjoy assembling together with fellow Christians to hear about the gospel, that's a sign that you're part of the Holy Christian Church. That's a wonderful thing. A couple weeks ago, I was in Jerusalem with our Israel trip, some of the students from here and others, and I happened to be sitting in one of the market squares having lunch, and probably 1,000 people or more sitting in this large market square, and everybody eating lunch, and the vast majority of people there looked just like me. I happened to be standing with two Apaches from an Apache mission, Lutherans, fellow Christians that were with us on the trip, and these two guys were rather dark-skinned, and one of them said to me, "Boy," about himself and the other guy, "I feel like the two of us stick out like a sore thumb." And because everybody else there looked pretty much like I did. But I thought to myself, I feel far closer to these two than anybody else in this market square because of Christ. That's what the gospel does. It unites us with fellow believers in Christ. It gets past all of the other things that might divide people in this world and unites us together. And the Holy Spirit does this work of uniting people around the apostles' teaching, the apostles' doctrine, and the fellowship or the unity that is established by that. This congregation in Jerusalem that we're reading about had probably no building as of yet. They had no land that they owned together permanently. And yet we see here the very essential elements of a Christian congregation. We talk about the Holy Christian Church being the apostolic church. And that means that when our Lord Jesus established his church, he gave authority to his apostles to be the one to be the primary teachers through their words, through their instruction, through their writings. And here we sit today, still gathering regularly around the apostles' writings to be taught by Christ, and this is how the Holy Spirit carries out his work. And the Holy Spirit gathers people then around the means of grace. In other words, the very ways that God brings his forgiveness from Christ to us in this world. If you were to read through all of these passages right here and look back to a couple right before it, you'll see that every one of the means of grace are mentioned. Baptism, the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, celebration by the fellow Christians together, the hearing of God's word in the apostles' doctrine, the prayer fellowship that was established through this, the worship that was established. These are what we often call the marks of the church. Where these things are being used according to Christ's command, there we know that there will be true believers in Christ gathered. A couple more simple things. First of all, notice the fruits of the Holy Spirit's work. The people immediately show a love for one another and a desire to help each other. They didn't have to give up ownership of their property, and yet they willingly contributed to help each other with the needs of everybody in this new assembly that had gathered together. This was a beautiful manifestation of the charity that God had shown them in Christ, now coming out in their earthly lives. Years ago, when I served a rather large congregation, if I heard about someone in need in our church who physically needed help or financially needed help, there was a lady in our church whom I would call, and I would just say to her, "I need about $500 by this weekend. Could you get it for me?" And she'd make some phone calls, and she'd show up in my office 3-4 days later with an envelope full of money to help them. The Holy Christian Church still does this. There are still times right here on this campus, right here in our dormitories, and right here in our faculty and staff when we help one another, when we show that same wonderful charity that God has shown to us in Christ. And finally, let's note this about the work of the Holy Spirit, and that is that his real work among us has to do with joy. It has to do with happiness and bliss, the joy of knowing Christ. We're told that they served one another out of gladness and simplicity of heart. Being a member of the Holy Christian Church is not about drudgery. Yeah, there are days when it's tough and it's difficult. I get that. But it's not about drudgery. It's not about hard labor. It's a joyful work. Supporting one another in the work of the gospel and supporting mission work around the world is a joyful thing. It's a happy thing. It's a thing that cheers our hearts. We get excited when we hear about others who have been brought to the faith through the work of the same Holy Spirit. So someday when you and I walk through those gates into the mansions of heaven, and are in the presence of all three persons of the Trinity, all of their work will certainly be something for which we should be eternally grateful. But the fact that we're even standing there at all will be due to the work of this Holy Spirit. God be praised. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. O Holy Spirit, grant us grace that we our Lord and Savior in faith and fervent love embrace and truly serve him ever, so that when death is drawing nigh, we to his open wounds may fly and find in them salvation. Amen.